TV with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Welcome to Wing TV. I'm Victor Thorne, and today I'm welcomed by Mr. Chris Emery, a writer and investigator, in our three subsequent shows, which are going to air on Monday, December 20th, Tuesday, December 21st, and Wednesday, December 22nd. We're going to devote all three shows to the Oklahoma City bombing and what really took place out there. Now, at the time, this was the most devastating terrorist attack on U.S. soil, and 9 years have passed since this event took place, and so much has happened and so much has been discovered that is contrary to the government and the mainstream media version of events that we figured we had to devote three entire shows. Plus, we also have a guest on the phone, but first of all, I'd like to introduce Mr. Chris Emery.
Thank you, Victor. I appreciate you inviting me to your studios.
And why don't you tell us a little bit first off how you got involved in this case, what happened, and then introduce our guest on the phone.
I became interested in the Oklahoma City bombing back in January of 2000 as a former employee of a major media outlet. I looked at the unedited raw footage of the heat of the moment news footage, and it says that the stock answer that we were given by the Justice Department simply did not match what I was viewing on the video. And I learned of the Oklahoma City Bombing Investigation Committee, which is continued to be chaired by our guest on the phone. His name is Charles Key. He's a 12-year member of the House of Representatives in the state of Oklahoma from 1986 through 1998. And it was Charles that actually spearheaded the effort to write the final report and other information we'll be promoting today.
And that is all contained in this report right here. As you can see, it's the size of a Los Angeles telephone book, and it's information galore about what really took place that fateful morning. So right now what we'd like to do is welcome Mr. Charles Key to Wing TV. How are you doing today, Charles?
Doing great. Glad to be with you.
Right. Now, as we said, when we air the next three shows on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we're going to go into, among many other things, the physical evidence, how it doesn't jive with the government says that an ANFO bomb that was in the back of this Ryder truck created all of this devastation, how that doesn't jive with the actual information. We're also going to go into Timothy McVeigh and his various associations, and also the ensuing cover-up that happened on the day and the months and years afterwards, plus all of the difficulties that you guys are facing. So why don't you tell the viewers of Wing TV right now how you got involved in this case, and a brief overview of what's going to follow the next 3 days.
Well, I live in Oklahoma City, and I was in my business office getting ready to go to the state capitol the day of the bombing, and could feel it, the shaking of the building about 7 miles west of the Murrah building where I was. I could feel the explosions that took place at the Murrah building that morning. And so I live in Oklahoma City. I represented a large number of constituents in Oklahoma City and had people that were friends of mine and constituents that were affected by it, even had people die that I knew in there, like so many people in Oklahoma City did. So I got involved in it very early on and had questions, like so many people did all over the country, about those first hours in the first day or two. Mm-hmm. Of the Oklahoma City bombing, the original reports that were released by law enforcement officials about who they were looking for, about other explosive devices being used in the building and being found that were ones that did not go off, that were intended to do additional damage that they had taken out of the building, and other information that came forward as time went by, but especially that first information of the first day and the second day, and how the FBI and other law enforcement agencies began to cover up that information, try to erase it from the public's mind about the other perpetrators and all of these other important facts about the case. As I saw that, and so many people saw that happen, there were a number of us that began to work together about in this case.
Right. Now, next April 19th is going to be the 10-year anniversary of the Murrah bombing in Oklahoma City, and it's obvious through so much of the information that's not only in this final report, but also some of the reports done by William Jasper, and so many other sources that a grave injustice has been done here, that there's bloodthirsty murderers that got away with this and are still free as we speak right now. So, Chris, I know you're visiting in our studio today. Tell us a little bit about how much of this information you've uncovered now and the difficulties you're having getting this out to people that can make a difference.
Well, my information is pretty much garnered from the efforts of what the committee had done. I'm coming in after the fact, and I give all the credit for what I found out to the committee and other members of law enforcement within Oklahoma and outside of the state that have come forth and supplied information we really didn't think existed. I broke it down into five different areas when I looked at the case, and Charles has really supported me on this, and basically reviewing witness statements, the physical evidence that even remains today, photographic evidence, your law enforcement personnel that were there when the event happened and have come forth since then, and of course the news footage, the unedited news footage that is out on various videotapes today. It shows the official storyline just simply doesn't add up.
Right, and this, as I told you earlier in the day, is priceless. I mean, these are the original reports. They came in literally minutes and in the first hour or two after the bombing took place. And as you see these taking place, as you said, this is the real story. This is what actually happened. Then all of a sudden, a blanket is thrown over that, and the cover-up begins. And it's been almost 10 years since then. And Charles, what we're trying to do here, I guess, and what you've trying to do, is give us the investigation that should have happened instead of the one that did happen, right?
Exactly. You know, what we've said from the very beginning is that the truth is more important than anything else.
Right.
Because really the truth is what this form of government that we have or have had for most of its history is all about. It's, you can't have freedom without truth and without justice. And there is much less of that in our government and in our court systems and criminal justice system in these times that we live in. And Oklahoma City is just one big example of how our government and some of its people in the law enforcement side of it have totally subverted justice and violated the law in covering up what really happened in Oklahoma City.
This was, and I don't think we can use any other word for it, this was mass murder that happened that day, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
This wasn't just Timothy McVeigh putting 4,800 pounds of ANFO in the back of a truck. As Chris said, and we've done quite a bit of research on this even before we met him and met you, but the pieces to the puzzle do not add up at all. And the more Chris told us about it, the more we just keep shaking our head and saying, why isn't somebody trying to bring the truth out other than you guys? So, I mean, I'm sure the hurdles you've encountered are enormous, aren't they?
Yeah, it was a real education. They were enormous. And it's not something I think typically people can really foresee just how far some will go to try to stop an effort like what we all joined together in, and trying to just simply get reasonable answers to honest questions. And it really was incredible how far they were willing to go.
Yeah. Now I want to bring up three quick points, and these are all things that we're going to touch upon in our subsequent shows Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. But first, Chris, there's no way, zero possibility, that an ANFO bomb created this damage, is there?
From what I've learned, no. And I've talked to General Parton, as Charles Key of the committee have, and he laid it out in no uncertain terms. And mind you, for your viewers that aren't aware of who he is, Charles has even said this, he is considered the expert. Other scientists and other people that design ordnance to take out hard targets, 3, 4, 10 times the size of the Murrah Building, go to people such as General Parton to pretty much cut to the chase. And if one doesn't believe General Parton, then you're really lost. So the credibility issue is certainly not an issue with him.
Right, and we're going to delve into this much, much more in depth in these subsequent shows. The second thing, Charles, is Timothy McVeigh. Did he have the brains, the resources, or the contacts to not only pull this entire complex job off, but then to cover it up also? I mean, it's obvious he didn't, did he?
No, absolutely not. And that is another, you know, there's so many things in this case that just scream for more answers, like you just stated yourself. And in the fact that the government has said that Tim McVeigh did this on his own is absolutely ludicrous. Just the having the physical ability, one person, to be able to pull this off with the aid of another person, which they claim, Terry Nichols,
who wasn't even there.
A small amount of aid to put all this together is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
It didn't happen. It didn't happen.
Right.
There had to be quite a number of other people involved. It was a very sophisticated, to use the words of our governor at the time, Frank Keating, a very sophisticated operation.
Right. And finally, and this is the most important aspect probably, is that when we look into the cover-up that ensued, this is going right to the White House, isn't it?
Well, I'll tell you what, I talked to, I know we'll talk about this in subsequent programs, but when the ATF informant, Carol Howe, had become public, and then the government tried to shut her up by bringing up some false charges against her, I went to her trial, and there was a man there that was the former, quite a long time, number two man at the ATF, and I asked him a question about how far this would go up the ladder. The knowledge of a case like this and the surveillance of individuals that were believed to be and no doubt were part of this tragedy. And he said it had to go all the way up to the top because, in his words, to paraphrase, these kinds of surveillances, these kinds of cases aren't done at the state level or regional level. They go all the way to Washington, D.C.
Right.
So, it may very well have gone to the White House.
Yeah. So this just wasn't something isolated to Oklahoma City, and that was the end of it. This went well beyond to D.C., and this is another aspect of this case that we're going to talk about in the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday shows. So before we bring it to an end today, we wanted to just give a brief overview of what we're going to be talking about. Chris, is there anything else you'd like to say to set this up for subsequent shows? And we want to thank you for being in the studio today with us.
Thank you. I'm glad it took the time to come down here. You folks are doing a very good job of supporting us.
Thanks.
And we appreciate it. I want the viewers to know that any way you look at this case, if you stay to the basic scientific facts and you look at the physical evidence and the photographs and you simply do the simple math, you really can't reach any other conclusion than to see that the extent and the amount of ordnance needed to disassemble the Murrah Building was infinitely more than what we were told. And the stock answer from the U.S. Justice Department simply doesn't add up. And Charles can certainly elaborate on that.
Yeah. Well, Charles, go ahead. Why don't you give a few parting comments before we bring the show to a close today?
Well, basically what we did is in the early days, as I referred to it, back in 95 and 96, when I worked with some other people who had lost loved ones in the bombing that were interested in really knowing the truth, and they could kind of smell a rat and they were being lied to. As we began to gather this information that you see there in that final report, we, by necessity, needed to start categorizing it. And so we basically broke it up in three or four areas. And one of the areas that I know that we'll talk about in the subsequent programs is the eyewitnesses. There is a large amount of eyewitnesses that saw McVeigh in Oklahoma City the day of the bombing and in the days before the bombing. And that body of witnesses is so large and so competent that, kind of as Chris just stated, anyone would have to realize that there were certainly other people involved. Almost to the person, every eyewitness sees McVeigh with at least one other person, mm-hmm. depending on their point of view, where they were at the time. And sometimes they see McVeigh with more than one person. And oftentimes the witnesses describe the person with McVeigh, for example, the one that rode with him in the Ryder truck, as being dark-complected mm-hmm. and Middle Eastern. Or sometimes they would use the words Arabic,
right.
Or sometimes they would say, well, possibly Hispanic or Middle Eastern. So there's no question there were other people involved. The eyewitnesses screamed to the fact of that. As a matter of fact, the government's case was based on eyewitnesses in the very beginning, and then they started trying to eliminate that systematically as time went on and they prepared for the 1997 trial of McVeigh.
Right. Now,
one of the other areas that we've talked about, the damage to the building, the bombs that were in that building that did go off and ones that didn't go off that were intended to bring the whole building down, apparently. One other area that was very enforcement and federal law enforcement agencies having some knowledge that individuals were planning to bring this bombing about in Oklahoma City.
And I think that's a key point. So right now, before we close, we're talking Lisa Giuliani, Chris, and myself before the show, and I want everyone to know that Lisa will be joining me on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, the 20th, 21st, and 22nd. This is going to be a barn burner. But we want to thank Charles Key right now, because after we found out how many people have kept their mouth shut, isn't that true? I mean, so many people haven't made that first step. And Charles Key is a man of huge, huge courage, because he's one of the ones that did step forward. He's taking action like Chris Emery is. And if it wasn't for their help and also the others in their group, this case would essentially be dead and buried. Pardon the pun, but these men need to be congratulated, thanked because they're doing the work that is needed to bring the guilty parties to justice. So thanks to Mr. Charles Key and to Chris. Thank you for joining us in the studio. And we'll be back on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Folks, this is going to be a barn burner. We think it's going to be the biggest shows we've ever done, ever, at Wing TV. I'll be joined by Lisa Giuliani. And we just want to say thank you for all the people being involved.
You're welcome.
And we'll be back again tomorrow on Wing TV.